I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's Valero Texas Open. Joining me to break it all down, Greg Ducharme is here. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Rick. Thanks for waiting for me a little bit here tonight. Looking forward to talking about round one. It was exciting. It's a fun golf course to watch. I really enjoyed it.
It is. I want people to know, though, you don't have to thank us for waiting. You are actually stepping in. You're a team player tonight. You were called and you said, Hey, can you fill in for me on a Thursday? And Greg said, you know what? I'm going to do my show until 8 PM and then I'm going to get on and do some more. So no, you don't have to thank us. We thank you, Greg.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, I'm happy to be here and you're very welcome, but I love talking about this stuff. I love getting a chance to break it down with you, even if it's a little late. But like I said, this is some really good golf being played today. Let's break it down.
It was, and it started very early, and I truly mean that, Greg, because Justin Lauer in the very first group of the day went out and made two birdies in his first three holes. He made three birdies in his first six. He made four in his first 11. He shot a bogey-free 66 early in the morning that looked like it was going to stand up all day long. It almost did. Spoiler alert. It almost did. But Justin Lauer, this could have been the situation that Kyle has referenced before. Has anyone truly won a golf tournament wire to wire, being in the first group, getting out to the lead early, and then winning? Justin Lauer gave us that chance with the early tee time.
Yeah, he set the pace early, and not many caught it. Because it was a difficult pace to catch. This golf course was hard. It played three quarters of a shot over par on a par 72. That's a really challenging golf course. But Justin Lauer had it all going today. I mean, he filled it up on the greens. It's the thing that kind of has kept him on the PGA Tour the last 2 years. He's a top 50 putter the last 2 years on tour, 35th last year. And he's 106th this year. His ball striking has improved a little bit, but 106 in 2024. What's he do today? Goes out and absolutely fills it up. Leads the field in strokes gained putting. 23 putts today. This was just a great performance on the greens from him.
Yeah, and you mentioned it, that early wave, believe it or not, the early wave had the worst side of this draw. It was about a stroke over par this morning. It was a half a stroke over par this afternoon. So you that ends up being, as Greg said, about three quarters of a stroke over par. So what Justin Lauer did was actually a little bit better than his peers in the afternoon by about a half a stroke. So I was surprised that it was not the other way around, that the afternoon wave did not play more difficult.
Well, I was surprised too, because you saw these greens get really firm. But I would imagine the only thing I can really imagine, I guess, is that the wind was a little higher in the morning, perhaps. And it looked like it kind of calmed down later in this round, later in this tournament. And the guys were able to handle the firm greens. It seemed to like them in some cases. So it was challenging in the morning. I think it stayed challenging in the afternoon, but you're right. Surprising that the morning was more difficult.
Yeah, not a rollover situation on either sides of the draw. Max Homa, Greg, also went out this morning. He made the turn in 1-under 35. He made three birdies on his final four holes of the day, 6, 7, and 9, because he started on the back nine. And I feel like kind of lost in all the conversation of, will Rory win a Grand Slam? Jordan Spieth heading into the Masters, LIV guys returning, Ludwig and Wyndham Clark making their first, Masters starts. Max Homa is a guy that at the beginning of 2024, a lot of us said, hey, we got to see something in major championships this year from Max. And now he gets a chance to play well the week before and maybe parlay this a little bit into next week at Augusta National.
Yeah, and why does he get that opportunity to say, well, hey, he needs to take the next step now? Well, that's because he's done so well at the previous step, right? So that's a blessing, if you will. It's a really positive sign. It's a sign of a great player. And I think Max has made the improvement that is required in order for him to contend and win in major championships. And that's what he does with his short game and his putting. It's gotten far more consistent, much better. But still, the bread and butter for Max Homa is his ball striking. And that's been, I won't say it's been bad, but it hasn't been as good as it hasn't been Max Homa's best. And today, this was a lot closer to Max Homa's best. He was more accurate off the tee. He was hitting greens in regulation, hit 15 of them today, and gained nearly 2.5 strokes approaching the green. That's a really positive sign for him coming into Augusta National and for the rest of this week.
If you like questions, I've got questions. And they revolve around Colin Morikawa, whose 2024 has not started well, whose opening round at the Texas Open did not start well. He made bogey on his first hole, number 10. He did get it to level par by the turn, and he made three birdies in his final five holes. So a flurry at the end of that first nine, as Max Homa did to get this thing in at 2-under par. It was a great round, Greg, but I look at the metrics. 104th in strokes gained approach. He lost a half a stroke there. 115th in strokes gained putting. He was reliant on his chipping and pitching. He was reliant on the driver. It was not very Morikawa-esque, which does not necessarily answer some of the questions that I'm having.
No, but I think you got to look a little deeper at this one. It's confusing. There's still questions. I'm right there with you, Rick. But there's one thing that I look for with Colin Morikawa, and it's, does he miss iron shots left? If he has the fade working, he will figure it out. Even if he loses a shot in a round of golf like he did today, he's 104th today, he could vault up that leaderboard if he has his shot shape working. It's like Steph Curry shooting threes, just to let the shooter shoot. But when Colin Morikawa is missing left with his irons, it can become disastrous for him. And he missed left at at his first hole of the day. And it's concerning, but he really didn't have any double crosses the rest of the way. I mean, he did hit a wild three wood. I think it was a three wood anyway at 14, where he missed on a par five, missed it way right, unable to make birdie from there. But all in all, I thought he hit some pretty quality iron shots and a lot of misses near the edges of the greens. I think there's a positive sign for him at the Players Championship. He's working with Mark Blackburn now. They were struggling. He looked really frustrated. I didn't get the sense that this was a frustrating round of golf for him from the perspective of his golf swing. So I actually look at this round as a positive sign.
As of this moment, he's the one I'm most interested in of what the next 3 days brings. What version are we going to get? Because listen, he won what, two of his first eight major championships, and
yeah,
I can obviously do it again. I think he's the one I'm most locked in on for the next 54. We'll see.
Yeah, there's a couple of them for sure. He's definitely in the mix. It just feels like we haven't seen him this year.
I know.
Yeah, you know, he hasn't been a part of the conversation at all, which is unlike Colin Morikawa. Maybe these next seven rounds of golf, he becomes part of the conversation.
Yeah, just a quick seven rounds away from a green jacket. Yeah. The man who has donned the cowboy boots twice in his career, Corey Connors, did his Corey Connor thing, which is shoot a 2 under 70. That's currently a tie for 18th after round one. Still a couple of guys out on the golf course. And Greg, the highlight of the day was making eagle on 18. That was his ninth hole of the day. He had a little bit of good, a little bit of bad on his second nine. But I think if you're trying to go for a third time's the charm, three victories here in Texas, you'll take a 2 under 70 all day long in the opening round.
Yeah, three birdies, three bogeys. Big benefit to make that eagle at number 18. That's a really positive sign. But this was as Corey Connors as it gets. We've had this conversation on Mondays, Rick. He struggles around the greens. The fortunate thing is he typically doesn't miss very many. So he hit 12 of them today. He kept it in front of him. He only hit three fairways, but he didn't really miss all that wide.
Right. Which is vintage Corey Connors. If you're going to miss small and still give yourself a chance to hit the green.
He just keeps it in front of him and he does hit greens. And a lot of the greens that he missed were actually, again, like Colin Morikawa, near the edges of the greens. Like he hit a lot of shots through the green. And that is fine. The issue is he doesn't get him up and down. You know, he gets up and down from the bunker on a couple occasions, which is great. But those little ones where you just get the wrong club into the green or it takes one bad hop and just jumps through, Corey Connors at risk of making bogey there, where a lot of these top players are not. They're going to get those up and down more often than not. So it's a weakness. It's a pretty big weakness, but there's a pretty big strength on the other side as well.
Yeah, he's just trying to figure out how those things coincide with one another. We have not talked about the most interesting round of the day. We have not talked about the pre-tournament favorite, and we have not talked about the guy who is currently leading the Valero Texas Open. We're going to do that and more after a quick word from our partners. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
It should be no surprise that I love wagering on golf, whether that's the outright market, whether that is player props, three balls, you name it, I'm interested. But this time of year, I like to dabble in the NBA and the NHL because it's winner take all time and FanDuel's giving you a shot to bring home a big win of your own. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 to bet on those spreads, those money lines, those player props, or anything else that you see on the large catalog that FanDuel is offering. And here's what you have to do. Visit FanDuel.com/first and make every playoff shot count. Again, visit FanDuel.com/first and make every playoff shot count. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Did you know that more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Those numbers do not add up to me, and I know it can be confusing, the biomechanics of the foot, the bones, the muscles, everything in between, but solving foot pain is simple, and that's where Superfeet comes into play. These Superfeet insoles go into your shoes, give your feet comfort and support where they need it the most, and redistribute the forces that reduce both stress and strain through your entire body, not just your feet. Insoles have been phenomenal for me personally, and they are clinically proven to decrease fatigue, reduce injury, and improve comfort. I can attest to that myself, especially when walking a lot of golf holes that I play. So if you feel good, you play good, you look good, everything works out from there, and it starts from the bottom up. Visit superfeet.com and enter promo code FIRST at checkout for 15% off your first order plus free shipping.
And we're back. Greg, I have a billion-dollar idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Great. The pitch is this. 24/7 around-the-clock camera on Jordan Spieth.
It's a billion-dollar idea.
Not even on the golf course. I want it all. I want on the course. I want off the course. I want everything. And he gave us the full throttle entertainment on Thursday. It was a disaster through 9 holes. It was a disaster through 14 holes. He was 4 over par and coming off a double bogey 7 on a par 5, which featured him hitting one OB off the tee. It was the perfect soundbite. I think it was 14. It was a perfect soundbite. It was like this. Well, let's see what Jordan Spieth does here. Crack of the club, 4 right. And then him going, "Oh, Jordan." All three of those were just absolutely perfect in succession. And I have a text here. I sent a text timestamped at 3:38 PM. That's Pacific time. At 3:38, I sent a text that said, quote, "Could Spieth be any more of a disaster right now, right before the Masters too?" At 3:41, 3 minutes later, he made an ace on 16. He followed that up with a birdie on 17. He gets this thing in at 1 over par, which is right on the field average for the day. And now we get another probably 5 crazy rounds of Jordan Spieth again tomorrow.
He shoots the average for the day, and it's the least average round imaginable. I mean, this scorecard, if you're not watching on YouTube, you need to, because it's just full of boxes and double boxes and circles and double circles. It's unbelievable. And this is why it's so hard to figure out, because you see shots like the hole in one, you see shots like the wedge shot at 17, you see what he's doing on the greens, and he's been putting a whole lot better this year, and putted fine today. Not great, but fine. But Rick, this is the thing that's still concerning to me. The magic at the end saved an okay round. He's still 10 back. But listen to these. I mean, 166 yards, he misses long. 185 yards, he misses short. 195 yards, he misses right. 162 yards, misses long right. 144 yards, misses short right. These are all from the fairway, a tee box, or an intermediate cut of rough. Right, that's five misses where, I mean, I understand missing the green at seven. I understand that. It's 195 yards. But to miss all of those opportunities from the fairway is, it's just, it's unacceptable. It puts so much stress on your round. And his short game is starting to suffer because there's all these tricky shots that you're faced with from poor iron play. And then you come in and save the day with a hole in one, and you end up 15th in the field in strokes gained approach. But it's false.
He played the par fives at two over, par, double, par on the four par fives. He was 2 for 8 in scrambling. He hit 10 greens, seven. He only had seven fairways, and the misses were big boy misses. I agree. He salvaged. He saved. He pulled a miracle, a rabbit out of the hat to get this thing in at one over. If he plays anything remotely like this again tomorrow, he will not be around for the weekend.
No, he will not. He has to get this under control. And you're not going to see this opening round 66 at Augusta that we've come to know and love if you can't take advantage from the fairway. If you can't hit a ball on the green from the fairway. And he's done a better job of that. He's given himself those opportunities for the most part. Of course, he hits one OB to kind of ruin the driving accuracy statistic. But this has got to get cleaned up, because I know it was exciting to the end, but your text was right.
Of course, it was perfectly timed as well. One end of the spectrum on Thursday was Jordan Spieth. The other end was Rory McIlroy, who shot a 69 that featured 15 pars and 3 birdies. So a bogey-free round of 69. Have a lot of thoughts about this one too, Greg. A lot of approaches in which he missed on the wrong side. He didn't look super sharp on the second shot, but at the same time, a few lip outs away from this thing being fit 5 under, 6 under. I mean, he missed how short was the putt that he missed on 14? 3 feet, 7 inches.
Yeah.
He kind of
a nasty lip out.
Lipped out on a short chip on 18 for birdie as well. That could have easily have dropped. So talk me through the pros, the cons, the takeaways here from Rory's Thursday.
Well, there's some high quality shots, right? There's some really good iron shots that he hit in there. I mean, you think about these opportunities, right? He hits from 195 at 7, hits it inside of 12 feet, misses it. At 10, he's 125, hits it to 12 feet, misses it. At 17, hits it from 87 yards inside of 4 feet, makes it. So those are some really good signs. Now, 18, he's got 147 yards and misses long. Misses way long at 16 as well, which was just a phenomenal up and down, full flop shot, but way more difficult than it needs to be. So there's some ups and downs in this, but all in all, I felt like it was a pretty steady, pretty consistent round with better iron play than we've seen.
The misses, like you said, the long miss, he had one earlier in the round. 12 is the one I'm thinking of. I mean, these are not, they're not huge misses, right, Greg? I mean, this is a pin high miss on 12. It's right. It's right of the pin. It's right of the green. It's a yard off the green. I like the distance control. Yeah. I like the aggression. Just a little bit off. You tidy this up a little bit and it's a 66.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even with these misses, 66 is in the cards, right? You make 2 12-footers and a 4-footer, and they're there. And that's great. I mean, two of these misses, Rick, into the greens were, he's putting with a wedge. That happened twice. So they're not big misses. Of course, 16 and 18 are bigger, but they're right there. He's right there. So I think if we get this kind of round from Rory over the next 3 days, the optimism for me will be much higher than it was heading into this week for the Masters.
We noted that very early in the day, first group out, Justin Lauer shot a 66, and I thought that that was going to hold up for the majority of the day. It did not. Justin Lauer is currently in a tie for second. The man who tracked him down, passed him, and left him in his dust is Akshay Bhatia, who might have been playing a different golf course, Greg, because this was a bogey-free 63, 9-under, three shots better than anybody else in the field. If you thought the 32 going out was good, how about the 31 coming in, where he birdied five of his final seven holes, and Akshay has posted himself up at the top of the leaderboard after round one in Valero?
I mean, what a performance. To go shoot 63, I mean, you basically beat the course average, the scoring average for the day by 10.
So I'm glad you said that. So, because I'm crafting this tweet right now. I'm waiting for the round to officially end so that I can get the final number. But very astute observation of you, Greg, because that he was at 9.8 ish earlier. It would be the second best round on tour this year behind Nick Taylor's 60 to start the Phoenix. Oh. So we are talking about that round that Akshay just put together, just put the finishing touches on. At this moment, the second best round we've seen on tour by anybody this year.
Yeah. And he does so much of this work with just ridiculously good shot making, ridiculously good iron play. I mean, it was so impressive, shot after shot inside of 15 feet. I mean, you think about the wedge at 17, hits it in there to 5 inches. Right. I mean, nearly holes it. And that was one of many. He was hitting, he hit at least two iron shots inside of 6 feet today. He was just stopping it on greens that were firm. That was not easy. But he's a creative type of player. He likes to work the ball both ways. He seems to have all the shots tee to green. And the other cool thing is he puts the finishing touches on it. Like, only 25 putts in today's round. And I am so impressed with his ability or his willingness at the age of 22 to go to a broomstick putter. Take notes. If you're one of those great ball strikers struggling with putting, there's no reason to stick with a traditional blade putter. You might be working too hard. You go to a broomstick, figure that out, play your career. I mean, he could play his whole career with a broomstick putter. With the problems that all these great ball strikers have faced on the greens, he could have them solved right away. And I give him a ton of credit for that.
Yeah, there's a lot of 20-somethings who would think they're too cool to use the broomstick. But you know what else is cool? Winning golf
tournaments.
Winning golf tournaments is pretty cool. Only 65 feet of putts made. You also don't see that when you go out and you shoot 63, gain nearly 10 strokes to the field. It's usually like you roll
120.
In. Yeah.
Yeah. 140, like some kind of crazy number.
No, didn't need to do that. Just stuffed everything close. Well, we'll see what that final number is. I'll tweet it out. We got a couple guys still out on the golf course, but that is not going to change who the favorite is at this event. And that is Akshay Bhatia. Odds makers currently have him at +333, Greg. So 3.33 to 1. Rory McIlroy at 8 to 1. Brendan Todd, who got in at 6 under par, is 10 to 1. Both of Max Homa and Austin Eckroat are in at 4 under. So Homa is 12 to 1. Eckroat is 25 to 1. If you like some bigger names, you can get Morikawa at 25. You can get Ludwig at 33. You can get Hideki at 66. He's 10 shots off the lead, so maybe you don't want that. Same odds as Jordan Spieth, though. Anything here tickling your fancy?
Oh, it's tough because you don't know how Akshay is going to handle this coming down the stretch. You got to figure that today's round was a bit of an anomaly, but that's hard because he did so much of it with ball striking. So the model says Akshay. I think if I'm looking down the board at anybody, it's Max Homa. I think this is the Max Homa type of golf course. And I think that he played the best round of golf for future performance today. Other than, of course, Akshay. And I mean, Brendan Todd played great. And there are other better rounds. But I like the way that Max Homa went about it.
I know this is very brave of me, but I think that like either Akshay or Rory McIlroy is going to win this. I know that's super brave. The two.
Yeah, you're out on the limb.
Yeah, with the shortest odds. But Akshay has given himself a little bit of a cushion. And like you said, did it in a fashion that is at least more sustainable than if he had made 200 feet of putts. Now, he's not going to gain 9.8 strokes again tomorrow. He's not going to, but he might not have to go out and gain two, go out and gain 1.5. You're just in fine shape.
No. And he may also be on the right side of the draw.
That's very true. But I watched, of course, all of that Rory McIlroy round because we always get to see every shot from Rory McIlroy. And if you turned off the scorecards, you would have thought he was 3 over. I mean, I didn't think it was like all that good at all. And a couple of silly mistakes and he's 3 under. I think that is very, very dangerous for everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. He's scary.
Yeah.
Bogey free Rory. I mean, remember, this is a guy that struggled with big numbers and to come out and perform bogey free it could be a really good sign.
Yeah. A little dangerous. Okay. Well, here's the thing. This is all going to change in 24 hours. And last time I checked the forecast, tomorrow's afternoon looks pretty windy. Might shake this whole thing up a little bit. The good news is, Greg, we'll be here Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night to break it all down. We're not going to stop. We're just going to keep going. And then we're going to roll right into the Masters. So things very good right now for the old First Cut podcast.
Yeah, it doesn't stop. The train keeps on rolling. And why would it stop? There's so much to talk about. I was glad to be able to do it with you here tonight.
Well, big thanks to producer Thomas on the ones and twos tonight, doing all the hard work behind the scenes. That right there is Greg Ducharme. You can find him on Twitter at TheRealGFD, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.